Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Camera Work Podcast number 27, and I am super excited for this episode. I'm John Ricard, by the way, and my co-host, Ray Tamara, is here as well.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Great to be here. I know I've been out of action, missing in action, but I'm back, and I'm looking forward to doing the podcast, and hopefully you're listening and telling your friends and letting us know what you want to talk about.
Right, and Ray's been gone for a couple of weeks, but the real reason I'm excited, I mean, I'm glad to have Ray here too, but I'm really excited because Sean Cummings is here from Show Magazine, and Sean was on what September or something.
Yeah, Ray wasn't here. I didn't even know Ray could talk, so I'm glad.
Yeah, but the funny thing about Ray is a lot of people who know Ray are think Ray doesn't talk, and Ray doesn't even talk to me sometimes, but he is good on a podcast. You put him on a mic and he starts talking. Well, so
there's a lot of people that don't talk to you, John. So
yeah, I guess not.
That's not a good example.
Right, people have something against me, I guess.
Personally,
you know?
Yes. Everyone's against you on social media.
Oh God, the whole
Twitter,
world.
The whole Instagram universe, Twitter, they don't like you, John.
Right. Now, we got a lot to talk to you about, Sean, okay? Let me knock out a couple of Ray things, because Ray was gone for a month, right?
A couple of weeks, 10 days. I went to Utah. I went to the Sundance Film Festival and basically was shooting celebrities at the airport and in the streets and just anywhere. I go there yearly because I just get more heads, different heads in Utah than I would get in New York. So I definitely look forward to going to Utah. And then after that, I went to Los Angeles where I didn't work. All I did was decompress. A friend of mine opened up a garage or a body shop in Hawthorne. So I was taking the metro, looking at the Watts Towers, going to the Culver Stairs. And there's this thing, it's Mount Wilson, which is in Pasadena. It's 7 miles up, 2,000 feet elevation change. And I did that. It took me 4 or 5 hours, and it was a beast. It totally totally killed me for the rest of it. I couldn't train at Eddie Bravo after that.
Wow, but you did make it to 10th Planet at least once.
I did one day. I was supposed to go three, but after the second and third day, it was just my legs were tight, and I knew that I just couldn't perform at 10th Planet.
Right, Sean was asking.
You should have called me. You're in L.A., man.
Yeah, no. 10th Planet is
next time you get to L.A., make sure you call us. Yeah. But what's 10th Planet?
10th Planet is a Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu academy. It's done by, it's taught by Eddie Bravo, and it's at the Tap Out Gym in downtown L.A.
That's where I work out.
Oh, yeah.
No, you really? You're at Tap Out in downtown L.A.?
My trainer.
Wow.
I'm like,
you gotta go there, man. 10th Planet Jiu-Jitsu.
It's right there on
it's a jiu-jitsu school.
Well, I didn't know they
brand
exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm
I live 3 miles from there.
Wow. Wow. No, I'm gonna take you there next time, man. It's just it's a style of jiu-jitsu that tends to be a little looser than some other places. It's more of a rock and roll kind of feel. You know, class might start a minute late. They might spend some time talking rather than intensely working out in the first 10 minutes. It just has a great feeling to it. So I'm a big fan of it, and the guy who runs it, Eddie Bravo, is really cool. I'm a huge fan of his, so, you know, I kind of introduced Ray to it, and he loves it. So whenever we're in L.A., it's like, I got to go to 10th Planet. It's so much fun, you know? But run us through one more thing, Ray. When you're doing this Park City, Utah stuff, right, you're not – nobody hired you to go there. You just kind of went on your own dollar, and you just work in the airport, like you said?
Yeah, no, everything is spec. I am a contributor at Getty Images, so they don't – assign me anything. What I have to do is find my work, find the heads, find the people, wait for the people, and I pay for everything. But I know that it's gonna pay off because these are heads that I wouldn't necessarily get in New York, and I'm confident that I'll make my money back. And when I don't make my money back, then I just don't do that. I used to go to Los Angeles for the award shows and the Grammys, but the work dried up for me. It didn't dry up for other photographers, but for me. So that's why I don't go to Los Angeles to work.
Right.
I go there to just hang out and just see stuff, because the Grammys were taking place during the time I was there. But I learned when I went to Miami that if I go there, I have to be specific. If I go there for vacation, then it's vacation. I can't balance the two, because I just end up working and being mad.
Right. So you got to go for either vacation or for work.
For me.
Right. But it always strikes me as kind of odd, you know what I mean, that that it always strikes me as kind of odd that like the airport in LA lets everybody shoot in the airport. You ever watched like TMZ? Yeah. And they have those, they had one the other day of Gabrielle Union, and they followed her like from like the gate all the way out the airport. It was like 3 minutes long, and I'm like,
but can Ray elaborate a little bit on why the work dried up for him specifically and not other photographers?
Because I changed my line of work. Before, I used to work for the record labels and for the liquor company. So they used to do a lot of events, and those events would hire me. Those publicists or the event planners would hire me to cover their events, but I started doing other work, which is paparazzi work, and that kind of put me out of the loop of the publicist, so they were less likely to hire me for that type of work.
Got it. Completely understand.
But the work is still there, and people are still doing it. It's just that they're not hiring me to do it, and that's the choice I made.
Right, but you shifted some of your work in New York too, though, right? Because I know you do like Letterman a lot now, and there was a time you weren't doing as much of that. You were doing like more like movie sets and things, right?
I mean, I basically try to be as efficient as possible. So now in New York, it's really cold. It's brick cold. So when it's like 10 degrees, I'm not trying to stand out in front of Letterman or GMA unless it's a big person. So I'm really, like, I'd rather just go to the movies and see something for $7 mm-hmm. than stand out and get a shot of somebody that I may not sell.
What right. movie can you see for $7?
And if you go to AMC before 12 o'clock, everything is $7. Right. Unless it's yeah. Wow. unless yeah. it's IMAX 3D.
Right. Ray knows the bargains.
Not
okay.
In LA.
No, Ray knows the bargain, early bargains.
If you go before right. a certain time, you get the matinee price.
In LA, in some theaters, are more expensive than the regular yeah. night.
I think you guys got more free
because
time.
Because they're more
that's
popular.
Why. Yeah, you guys got more time, I guess. But anyway, let's get more into Sean for a second, right? Now, Sean is the publisher of Show Magazine. And we're recording this, what is it? Is this February 1st now?
Yeah, no,
31st.
This is January 31st, 2014. So this is the current issue. Because remember, if you're listening to the podcast on iTunes, we also do it on YouTube. So if you're on YouTube, you can catch it on iTunes.
Great
but
picture.
Yeah, that we shot. And the cool thing, this is a cover, and it's a picture of Erica Mena and Sen Santana. They're both on Love and Hip Hop New York. Mm-hmm. And this particular picture, I'm really proud because I didn't take the photo, but it's my studio at least, right? Mm-hmm. And those are like my lights firing, so that's cool.
Those are your pro photos.
There we go, my D1 Airs, right? How cool is
we
that?
We might have actually. I know we did one shoot when my D800 broke, or D600,
that's right.
And
yeah,
we were using your D3.
That might have been
D3X. So that might have been the D3X.
D3X.
Do you remember? Because that was the day we were running around like crazy trying to get my camera fixed. But now, thanks to John, I have three cameras.
Oh, look at you! I said you got to have a backup.
So you
got to
have
huge.
A backup. You can't be on assignment. You know, being paid to shoot and say, oh well, my one camera broke.
Right. And the same with lights. It's like that's why years ago people used to ask a lot about whether they should get a pack and a head system or a mono light. And I used to explain that if you needed two mono lights, you would bring three. So you had three pieces of gear, one is a backup. But if you were using a pack and a head system, then you'd have to back up the pack and back up a head. So it was like two extra pieces of gear that you needed to bring. So the mono lights made more sense for a lot of people. Although today it seems mono lights are so much more popular, it's not even a question anymore though. But you transitioned from being the publisher of Show into being, are you the only photographer, or would you call yourself the lead photographer for the publication?
No, I mean, I'm the only one that's shooting for the publication right now. So this entire issue is the first issue with 100% my photography.
Right. Is that cool? Were you like super proud? Were you like, damn, I shot this?
I mean, I'm more excited with the next issue that we have coming out. We're actually doing a double issue, meaning that there'll be two magazines under the same barcode on the newsstands at the same time, which is going to be the first time ever, I think. So I'm excited about that because my photography has definitely progressed, even from the first time we shot here on color paper to the second time we shot here on color paper. It's like a huge difference in my work and even us just lighting it.
Right. Well, you had a very specific way to light, and I thought it was funny because I had one or two people, when you said you were shooting here in my studio, and people who know me as a photographer and know you as a publisher, they were kind of like, did you shoot that, John? I'm like, no, I did not shoot it. I lit it, but I didn't even light it in terms of the artistic direction. I lit it to Sean's specification.
Yeah.
Sean was really clear because what Sean was even describing, in some ways, it didn't even make sense to me in the beginning. The way he was like, I need a light here, and I need one on the side, I need one on the top. And I'm going, I wouldn't do it that way. I'd do it like this. But Sean was like, no, put the lights here. And then when we did it, it looked like Show Magazine, which I thought was interesting.
And it's even, style personally has even progressed to something that I personally like, and I call it like hyper bright, or it's not hyper exposed.
Right.
Like you would call it overexposed.
Correct.
But I say hyper exposed because I actually like that kind of cartoon looking element that I get from overexposing or hyperexposing an image, which I'm finding out now because I've tried to kind of, you know, maybe not do it. But when I see the images, and you know, the one thing you have to understand about, you know, Show Magazine is that we were founded with the idea that all of our images was also going to be repurposed for digital use.
Right.
So as good as they look on paper, they look 10 times better with the light behind them, you know, on
like
a screen.
On a screen, right.
So now that I'm shooting, I'm actually finding myself, you know, overexposing or hyperexposing an image because I like that 3D kind of anime, I wouldn't call it cartoon, but an animated look that I get from the images. So when you look on them on Instagram, at first people are like saying, oh, it looks too much like a cartoon or whatever, but I personally like that.
You like it, which is what
and
you should shoot.
And then you see other people, again, you know, imitating that look.
Right.
Maybe they don't like it, but if you do it enough, then they say, well, that's the standard now.
Right.
So,
yeah, that's true. Then kind of like Terry Richardson did this thing with a harsh light on camera flash, the shadow behind it. It's a look I don't personally like, but everybody has ripped it off.
Right.
So because it gets popular, you know, but I thought it was funny because one time we were shooting and some lights didn't fire. I think it was when it was the Love and Hip Hop taping and you were kind of fake shooting for the TV cameras and you didn't have all the lights firing. And you were looking at the pictures like, oh my God, these are horrible. And me and Ray were going, it looks pretty good.
Right.
It just wasn't the show look.
Even Tahiri, the model at the time, she liked one of the pictures and like half the lights didn't. You know, because when you do portraits, it's usually like 3/4 of your face is lit and there's like one.
Yeah, there's some shadow.
And I like that stuff too.
Right.
I just personally haven't learned how to shoot like that. And I am looking forward to learning like different shooting styles.
Right.
So I'm actually have a maternity shoot that I'm doing with Christian Arias, who was the photographer prior to me. She's now pregnant. I was like, hey, let me shoot your maternity pics. But I really invited her to do that so she could teach me how to shoot maternity
how to light
pics
it a different way.
Because
right.
the only lighting that I know right now is the, you know, this whole hyper exposure.
Right. But again, but that's
thing.
The show brand
with the,
and
yeah,
it makes
exactly.
sense. It's a consistent look in the magazine.
Right. But everything that I'm shooting besides, you know, I've done like two lights in a hotel and I've done like the behind the scenes stuff with the Fuji, but I would say that I need to expand, you know, my ability to do more shooting beyond what we do in the studio.
Right.
So.
Yeah, I think the different gear helps. I think that helps a lot. Like, I think if you're mentally thinking my Nikon is for that, what you're calling hyper-exposed look, then you pull out, what do you have, the XE1 Fuji or the X-Pro one?
I traded in the X1 Pro because it didn't have a flash.
You wanted the built-in flash.
I wanted the built-in flash, which I've used a lot. And I think there was another reason. Oh, yeah, it's like $700 cheaper.
Right.
But it's essentially the same camera.
Yeah, I actually like the XE1. If I were buying one, I would want the smaller one. I would get the XE1.
It's smaller.
Yeah, that's the one I would buy.
I don't think the specs are any different.
Oh, no, it's the same chip in the X-Pro 1 and XE1.
And it all fits the same lenses. So
right, yeah, there's no technical difference.
I like that
it's just
a lot. So I actually, another thing, too, I remember you had the Think Tank bag, and I didn't even realize I had a Think Tank bag.
That's funny.
Until I got
home. So you're on the right track.
So now I have three Think Tank bags. I have one for the D600, which if I'm just going out on video by itself.
Right.
And I have another one that carries everything. And then I have a separate bag for the Fuji XE1. So
right. Yeah. So you're,
I'm
you're,
like,
you're bagged
I overdo
out.
It when it comes to equipment.
But I know for me, if I pull out my Leica, then I'm going to shoot differently than my Nikon.
Right,
so for you, using that XE1 for your BTS, your behind the scenes stuff, probably gives you a different feeling and a different look than when you're using your Nikon with all the light. So I think different gear can help give you that slightly.
Right.
You know, different, you know, different vision.
Yeah. I mean, I know you've talked about that, but I just—it's like either shoot with the—I don't know. I'm still have block with that because I either shoot or I don't shoot, and it's regardless of what camera I use.
Yeah, I think a lot of times you approach it sort of mathematically or money thinking, not artistically.
Yeah.
Sometimes, and you're like, well, why am I shooting this if I can't sell it? It's hard to get out of that framework.
Yeah.
Sometimes I think.
Yeah, but
you know,
I have to because. you know, being, I have to diversify. That's what we talked about. That's what you've been talking about. And
right.
I see myself being so reliant on one or two people that if the money stops with that person, then I could be financially ruined.
You mean clients, when you say that?
So that has to change. And I have to figure out other ways to make money, other clients or other revenue streams, because I just can't go under.
Yeah, and you know, it's interesting because one of the photographers I respect the most, and I guarantee Ray knows what name I'm going to say when I talk about the photographer who I respect probably the most. You want to take a guess at it?
I know who it is. It's Coward.
Absolutely, Jeremy Coward. And it was interesting because I heard him speaking not too long ago. I forget what the topic, what the platform was, but he was talking and he talked about how, and this is a guy who I respect his work tremendously, what he creates photographically and the clients he gets, the TV work and the celebrity work and the music industry work he gets. And he was trying to say he has 10 streams of income, 10 different ways that he makes money. And he feels that that's what photographers need to be doing in 2014. And that had an impact on me because it's someone I really respect who's saying it, someone who's succeeding as a photographer who's saying, selling photographs is only one of my streams of income. I have multiple streams of income, so I thought that was interesting. And for me, I have a couple at least, like I teach this jiu-jitsu class twice a week at a private school on the Upper East Side, and that provides income for me. So my income is not 100% photo-based, now it's teaching jiu-jitsu and selling photographs and the occasional rental of the studio, you know, to people like Sean tomorrow.
His 10 revenue streams are all photography based.
Not really.
Related.
They're not like teaching jiu-jitsu, but it might be teaching a workshop, developing an app. They're in the same world, but it's still different than years ago.
They're all about him being a photographer. So what were his 10?
He didn't name them all, but I think
they're... What do you think they are?
I would think there's some from teaching workshops, selling DVDs.
Licensing images.
No, that would still be the selling photos, but I think some of it would be like similarly photo-related.
Hire a photographer for hire. He probably has a website.
Yeah, but those would be still the same thing. But I think
no, those are 10 different revenue streams.
You know, no, but like app would be a little different. They probably are somewhat photo related, though. I think they are definitely photo related.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But there might be one in there that's not photo related. There might be one.
Let me ask you a question,
yes.
And Ray as well. If you can add more photo related revenue streams to your, you know, catalog, what would they be?
For me, for example, years ago, I used to make a ton of money, a lot of money selling lifestyle photographs. What I would do is just get models together, and I'd do these scenarios.
I used to buy some of them.
There you go, right? You know, we'd get the models kissing, we'd get the guy and girl kissing, get couples arguing. You just do the sexy girls solo stuff, and magazines like Smooth, Black Men, Today's Black Women, and stock agency, like at that time, it was Retina for me. They would buy those images, and I did at least 30 book covers off stock images. It was fantastic. Urban Books would buy them. Doubletree Books would buy them. Just mainstream book companies, too, would buy these images. But for me, stock died when this thing called MicroStock came out, and then images went for $5. So now you're supposed to be producing thousands of images and selling them for $5 each. And I didn't like that business model as much as I liked selling them for anywhere between 150 to 300 to 500 to thousands when it was a book cover. So that would be a stream I would love to do again if the money was right, just stock photography, because it was so much fun directing those shots and creating them.
Well, what else? What about in the digital space? You said you did a workshop, so that's one.
Actually, yeah, that's a revenue stream for me. I just did a workshop at Unique Photo 3 weeks ago, maybe.
Okay.
And that was great. You know, it was 35 people attended. They were all paying, and it was great. I just taught some lighting techniques, and I had a ball doing it, you know, so that would be another revenue stream for me.
About like weddings and...
You know, sometimes I give it thought. I think there's still a lot of money in that. But that world hasn't, like, opened itself to me yet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm kind of open to it, I think. But for years, I had never considered it.
Okay.
Now, maybe a little bit. But I know with show, you absolutely have more of a revenue stream than the magazine. Where does the magazine itself, the magazine, where does that fit into the revenue stream? I'm holding it up again for the camera if you're looking at YouTube. What percentage of the income for show comes directly from the sale of the magazine?
Directly or indirectly? And can you put it down so you stop?
I'm blocking your shot. Yeah, they want to see Erica Mena and Sin Santana.
Well,
they don't want to see you.
Open up the magazine. That's just beautiful, Sin Santana.
Go right even closer
there.
To the camera.
So,
There we go. There's Sin Santana.
The rest you have to, you know, go to your newsstand and purchase it.
Oh, and before we even answer the question, I think your girl Erica yelled at Ray, didn't she, Ray?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, when you were... Oh.
Yeah, but she's, I mean... You know, you
watch the show every week.
No, I don't have a thick skin, but she did scream on me for something, and I just Sean just said, "Don't worry about it," and then just continue. Yeah.
If you watch the show, she fights literally every week. She's throwing plates, she's throwing chairs. I mean, I love the show. She fights like crazy on the show.
The funny thing about that is that you know Ray was taking behind the scenes pictures, and so
right.
was I.
Right.
And I had one of the behind the scenes pictures retouched. You know, at my own expense, and sent it to her. And now someone sends me a picture of my picture on the back of her phone case. So she's,
that she's selling, you mean, or just
exactly,
her own copy?
Exactly. So she's selling it. So I've already, you know, threatened to sue over that because that's one of our revenue streams is licensing images.
Wow. So it wasn't Ray's shot. Was it your shot?
No, it was my shot.
That's good.
On the Fuji. And, you know, licensing images and is one of our big revenue streams, and we license images to a calendar company out of Hawaii.
But are you able to license and for what you're doing? Erica Mena is a celebrity. That's a celebrity for the world that you're shooting. It's not celebrity for People magazine, but for the world you're shooting, it's a celebrity. When you shoot it for the magazine, do you have a release that's allowing you to use it commercially elsewhere from Show Magazine?
Of course.
No, but that's a big of course. When I shoot celebrities, I never.
Well,
have the right to license
it commercially.
She's still
an urban model, you know. So it's not like I'm shooting Mariah Carey,
right?
Who's not going to sign a model release,
right?
Se.
But she doesn't mind. Like she never says, or if she has some manager, they never go. Well, she's not going to sign a release that's going to let you put it like on a calendar, separate from the magazine.
I mean, they would if she was that big at the time, but she's not that big. Maybe she's bigger now, but at the time that we contracted to do this shoot, it wasn't. You know, she wasn't like super big. Her first season of Love and Hip Hop, she wasn't, you know, she was okay, but she was still kind of like a side, you know.
Yeah, I mean, she's well known in that world. She was definitely well known, though.
Right.
Like for the King, XXL, Black Men, Smooth, Show. Mm-hmm. She's known. That's how she got on a show. People knew her. And she was even on the Kardashian show for a little while.
Right.
On Keeping Up with the Kardashians or the Miami version of it, at least. But go back again to... what percentage would you say comes from the magazine itself, the sales of that? Where does that fit in?
You have to be more specific. Well, if you're talking about from sales, I mean...
Right. Is it like 10% or is it still 50, 60, 70%?
No, I mean, I don't think it ever was 50, 60, 70% for us. It's always just been, from a profit standpoint, it's always been like more like around 10% or so.
Wow.
From a straight revenue standpoint,
right?
Yeah, I mean, the magazine generates, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars, but that's, you know, you cover your costs with that. So you're basically breaking even on the print side unless you're selling advertising, which in this sort of format, we really don't sell advertising.
Right, the only thing you advertise is like if you do
our
a website for the girl or something.
You know, this is a catalog. It's an advertisement for what we do, for our brand, for our lifestyle, for the models. So it's a platform basically to introduce our products, which are primarily the models and all the other derivative and ancillary products that we have, like DVDs and our mobile apps and our website.
Mm-hmm. But let's go through some of them. So you sell DVDs of what, behind the scenes of the shoot?
We sell DVDs of behind the scenes shoot, but it's mostly like, you know, kind of sexy videos of the girls dancing.
They're like dancing and posing.
Yeah.
Do you sell that literally on DVD? Are people still buying DVDs?
Well, people are still buying DVDs. We haven't produced any new ones in a couple of years just because, like you said, I mean, a lot of people...
Yeah.
I threw my player out. I still have a DVD. Of course, we still have DVD players, but...
I threw mine out about 3 years ago. Yeah. I just... Even when I still had DVDs, I was like, I hate this thing. I just want... It was the worst format they ever invented for a media. It's horrible in every way.
So most of our videos are probably viewed more now on our website, YouTube, etc.
Right, but in terms of revenue streams, we've got DVDs. We've got a website that
We have eight revenue streams right
now. But let's run through them. There's a website, because I saw you had some special Instagram.
I'll run through them.
Yeah,
we
let's go through them.
We have what we call single copy sales, which is the newsstand, actually purchasing the magazine on the newsstand.
Right.
That's one. The second one, and this is pretty typical for most magazines, at least like four or five of them. The second one is going to be subscriptions. So those are people who are subscribing to the magazine.
Right.
Six copies for $24 or 12 copies for $44.
Right.
Then we have merchandise. Now, merchandise are going to be back issues, mm-hmm. calendars, DVDs, and whatever other merchandise we're selling. We used to sell T-shirts at some point.
Right.
So that's four, right?
Mm-hmm.
So number five would be mobile. So that means being able to purchase or look at Show Magazine on your mobile phone or on your...
That's the issue? And by the way, I guess you hear these sirens. It's like, I'm hoping they can hear
you. Well, we're in New York.
This is Times Square, man. This is God knows what's going on.
Pretty typical.
But go on. So what happens when you buy it for the phone? What are you getting, the magazine or individual pictures?
Well, you can download the magazine if you buy it from the Zinio app. But you can also just get individual pictures or individual videos.
Right.
Which used to be a really big revenue source for us when we were on the iTunes store. There used to be a lot more companies out there. You remember Jamster? We had a deal with Jamster.
Right. But did something happen with that? Did that change for some reason?
Yeah, it's called the App Store.
Right.
It's changed. Number one, Apple kicked out all the sexy publications off of iTunes and out of the App Store.
Right.
But the App Store also crushed Jamster and all those other sort of things. Maybe they're bigger in other countries. So you can still download pictures of showgirls in Europe and stuff like that.
Remember when Steve Jobs said that the iPhone was freedom, and he said it's freedom from all these things. He said freedom from pornography. So he was very anti pornography and anti-sexy.
And they still are.
Yeah, they still are.
Yeah. So that kind of cut down on mobile, but we still have some mobile properties out there.
Right. What else? The other streams of income.
Okay,
what
after mobile, then you have internet-based revenue stream, which is going to be our website. Showgirls exclusive. We have six websites, showgirlsexclusive.com being the biggest one, and that's a subscription-based model.
Right.
You could also go to zinio.com and download Show Magazine, so that counts under internet.
Right.
And then also, with if you have a PS3 or a PSP, you can download a screensaver. So that's internet.
What does that cost, like a screensaver?
You know what? It's probably like $1.99 or something like that. I really don't know what it is.
But they can
add
up.
I don't have a PS3.
Yeah.
But we're also going to be on Roku and I don't know about Apple TV, but we'd be on
Roku
as
well,
where you can download a Show Magazine themed screensaver.
Right.
So that's cool. Internet. So if you're counting, I believe we're up to six right now?
That's a lot, yeah.
So
six. Keep going.
So number seven is our new fashion blog that we're starting.
Right.
Which is called Showgirls TV, and it's going to be a fashion and lifestyle blog.
We should do something at Fashion Week. I shot a whole bunch of videos at shows.
I would love to get more lifestyle footage and stuff like that from both of you guys.
Yeah.
We're not really dealing with celebrities other than if they are urban celebrities.
Right. No, we did some stuff. I did some stuff for Hype Hair where we had a host, and we did video interviews with the nail companies. I forgot the name of it. God, that's so bad. But we followed these nail people, and then we showed how they did the nails, and we interviewed the nail technician and showed them actually painting the nails backstage at the show.
Okay.
And I'm going to send you a link. It was
great.
Good stuff.
Yeah, send me a link.
It was nice stuff.
If you have more stuff like that, that's fashion, beauty, lifestyle, fitness, travel oriented, we'd love to have that
sort that could be cool.
We're going to aggregate a lot of this content, and it's basically about what these models do with their clothes on. It's kind of
it's the opposite of show.
Yeah, shooting, doing photo shoots is actually maybe 2-5% of what they do.
Right.
But they're doing a lot of stuff. They're hosting parties. They're traveling internationally.
Yeah.
They're working out.
Yeah. And they're writing on Instagram
the
other 98% of the time.
They're doing cookbooks and they're doing a lot of different things. So that's number seven. Number eight is our agency. We're starting, we have an agency called Show Talent Management and, through LA Casting. So that's we're booking models all the time to host parties and host events.
What's the price range from the low end of a girl to a high end that they get? And what do they do if they host a party? What does that mean?
I mean, hosting a party primarily, it used to be you promoted the event.
Your Twitter and stuff?
Yeah, Twitter or your MySpace, I'm saying used to be. You got to the event, you actually got up on stage with the DJ and you talked on the mic and you did a whole, you brought people up on stage and you actually signed your calendar or your magazine.
Now this sounds to me the way it should be. So however you say it changed, it better be a change for the better, because that sounded really good to me.
Now it's you provide an image for a flyer and that's 90% of it. I need a sexy image for the flyer.
Right.
the other 5% of it is you promote the event, and the other 5% is you show up with five of your hot girls and you stand on the back of the banquet.
Yeah.
You don't interact with anyone, mind you.
Yeah.
You just stand up so everyone can see you.
Yeah.
And that's hosting a party.
It's terrible because everybody's going to the party, not going to the party for the girl, but they know she's there and then they're not mm-hmm. even like meeting her or talking to her or mm-hmm. even standing near her. That's kind of tacky yeah. to me. So that's a weird change.
Back to the revenue streams. That was eight, right? You're counting. Yeah. So actually, mm-hmm. we're on the verge of getting to 9 and 10 because number right. 9 mm-hmm. would be miscellaneous, which includes licensing, images, right. hosting, and bookings. Right. So a hosting is if you pay me to come host a party, you could pay us $1,500 and
right.
it could be an official show magazine casting party. A right. booking is if, you know, we just book someone to be a Beyonce's body double during one of her video shoots. So right. that's different from the LA right. casting and the show talent management
right.
because that's more about like putting people in commercials and putting right. them in, you know, catalog shoots and
right.
that whole sort of thing. So that's
into that
miscellaneous
world.
Is like number 9.
Right.
And then number 10, which is going to be coming up, is, you know, the our TV arm. And, you know, we're right. pitching a reality show out there right now.
Oh, that's
now.
Cool.
So once that gets into development,
right.
then you're looking at, like, you
number
know.
10. And then I know you and I talked about, well, you talked about it, and I'm not trying to say I came up with the idea, but you were talking about the possibility of doing even like a traveling burlesque show one of these days where like these girls yeah. are live in front of you and like dancing and I guess taking off a little
well,
bit of clothes
the business,
or something.
The business because of you know? Instagram and YouTube, you know, has to change. Like what these models have to offer has to evolve and we have to evolve. We can't, you know, depend on newsstand revenue or even
right.
just digital revenue. So the next evolution is, okay, I've seen these girls in my calendar, I've seen them on YouTube, I want to see them in person now, and not just
yeah.
hosting a party, but I want to see them doing more stuff.
You want to see them doing
so,
kind of what they're doing in a magazine, which is
yeah.
being sexy, not just walking a red carpet for 2 seconds
right.
and standing with a sparkly
right.
bottle of champagne being walked over to
yeah.
them. Yeah,
and,
I think that's a huge idea.
Thanks to, yeah. You know, thanks to reality TV, you kind of see that now. You kind of see the Tahiris and the Erica Menas and the Brooke Bellies.
Melissa Ford
Melissa
now.
Ford's, you know, mm-hmm. doing that transition. So now you
right.
can actually see these women doing other stuff.
Right.
But the difference I'm talking about is interacting with them in person.
Right.
Or seeing them on a live show.
Right.
So that's, you know, that sort of thing's another revenue stream. And,
yeah.
and another revenue stream, which is why we're here,
right.
it's been like a really big hit for us, has been photography.
Right.
I didn't even count that. I'm up to like
11,
right. 12
yeah, before
right
you
now.
Can get to pictures
before
again.
Before I even got to photography, and we started
right.
that, what, like April, May?
Right. And this is different. This is where you're actually finding girls who want to look like they're in show magazine, so you're photographing them in a show magazine
well,
style.
That and it's finding girls who want to be models, who want to be in show magazine.
Right. And you're charging
so,
them
yeah.
to be photographed.
Yeah. So, or you could just book a shoot. You know,
right.
we've had, like I said, people book maternity shoots, and
mm-hmm.
people book lifestyle shoots and fashion
But that's
shoots.
Weird. Like, would you look at the show magazine, you know, like, would you look at the show magazine photography and go, I want them to do my wedding, not wedding, would you say maternity pictures? Like, I wouldn't
I've
think that's a match,
maternity
though.
Pictures.
I mean, I'm sure you
they
could as a person.
They don't, I'm not putting baby
strange.
Oil on the mother. So,
on the babies?
right. So it's not looking the same, but it's well lit.
Right.
You know, it's definitely well lit. You know, we're putting 8 lights on them.
Right.
So, you know, their hair is lit and you have the side lights and you have the light from
right.
down below and, you know, you have the
right.
3 lights in front of them, you know, the octa, the umbrella and the small octa.
Right.
So, yeah, it's beautifully lit. And but, you know, the right. retouching is a little different, obviously.
Yeah. Not
we're
as high
not,
gloss
not trying
or
to
something.
Make them, you know.
Yeah.
you know, so we're not focusing on, you know, cutting in a waist or doing anything like that.
Right.
It's not as high gloss. But the photography revenue stream has been tremendous.
Right.
But what's happened is the business model has changed.
Right. Yeah, I think that's fascinating. And it goes back to what we were saying earlier. We talk about some other photographer going, well, I've got 10 streams of income. I think that's interesting. And for me personally, that's not something that was really on my mind 5 years ago because just selling pictures was fine. I was making a ton of money just selling photographs mm-hmm. and taking assignment jobs, and that's it. But I think it is something to, you know, sort of just keep in mind, you know, the idea of just different revenue streams. And I think you guys do a really good job of that, of really monetizing beyond just a print magazine. It's
right.
interesting
yeah,
that,
I know that
you do that.
I know that when I was like probably 3 or 4 years ago, I got into some trouble. My primary source of income was my agency, and unfortunately, I got into a scuffle, and my agency suspended me, and that just totally, like, you know, shocked my world.
Right.
Because my main source of revenue was immediately cut off, and that was for 7 months, and I had to figure out and reestablish where I could make money. And I kind of gotten comfortable again, and I have to figure out again how I can make money and make sure that that doesn't happen again. Because if someone decides to fire me, then what am I going to do? And I never want to be in that position.
Right. But so I think you made a change too, though, in a sense that I think years ago you were more money focused than you are now. Because I think, like, say, whatever it be, maybe 5 years ago, you were not willing to take even time off to do one type of physical activity like a jujitsu. You just were not willing to. You were like, I'm going to work. And I'm not sure what the change was. Maybe it was losing that source of income and you realizing that it wasn't that important to be making that much money. And I think you, I'm guessing, tell me if I'm wrong, you decided to take a bit of a pay cut, but devote some time to jujitsu, devote some time to hiking, devote some time to yoga. All of those things affect your income, but I personally think you're better off that way, being more well-rounded and not just money-focused, but being focused on personal development huge.
I think personal development is very important, and that's definitely something that I was lacking. But I think that the primary reason was the economy change. I mean, like in 2008, everyone was complaining and crying, and me included. So my lifestyle had to change. Like I was making significantly less money, and I've realized that I don't necessarily need to make the same amount of money to be happy. I just have to be more focused. I have to understand what makes me happy. It's not the money.
Right.
It's having purpose. And I love listening to other people like Sean, listening to Sean and having 11 revenue streams. I'm like, I got to get my game up.
It makes your head spin. Right.
Up.
Yeah. 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 Like,
I can't get caught out there again.
Right. That is crazy.
But in my own way.
Right.
So
right.
That makes sense.
Right.
To me.
Of course.
I can't go balls out and just
no, you have to do your thing. You can't manage models for booking for party. That's not going to be you. But there is something you could be doing. And you even took some yoga training.
Models.
Hey, there you go. But he just took yoga training. He took this training thing of how to teach I guess it's the hot yoga. So
that's
a possibility
one
for
of
you.
And I want to talk more about like how this business model has changed, not just for us, but the models in the business in general. But I want to reiterate something that I said in my first podcast with you, which I don't know. I don't know. 19?
I don't know that. Is it 19? I can't remember the number.
Know.
But it's easy to find. Search John Ricard, Sean Cummings, camera work. And I think it's really good discussion because I think you have a great honesty when you talk with us.
One of the great and the ironic things is that, you know, since we started show, you know, I went from working with several photographers, of which one was John and Ray that I worked with when I was the editor at Smooth Magazine and had close working relationships, to working with just one photographer for like 6 or 7 years.
Right. Do you want to name him?
It doesn't matter. Okay. But the ironic thing is that now that I'm doing photography, I'm actually back to working with other photographers and other people like Ray and John. And I go to Detroit, you know, and I'll work with Tragen, and I'll go to Miami, and I'll work with another photographer, you know, with Robin, and rent her studio and hire her to assist me. And one of the things with doing this new fashion blog that we're going to be doing is going to allow me to even work more with you guys.
Oh, that's
hire
cool.
You guys.
Good, good, good.
If Ray wants to do a trainer, we're going to do fitness segments, and I could totally see, you know, him doing a fitness segment with one of the, we could even do something like that tomorrow real quick.
Yeah.
We bring a model up and have her, you know, okay, Ray, just, you know, the videos are 4 or 5 minutes.
Right.
So why don't you just show her some jujitsu moves? Of course, it, you know, it has to be still sexy or whatever.
Right, right.
So, but, you know, so that's great. So we're looking forward to working with even more people. But just talking about the business model, it's changed for, it's changed for us in a sense that, you know, these models are kind of like helping to subsidize the cost of printing up this magazine, because although you have Instagram and Twitter, which has really kind of changed the game in a sense that people don't have to buy print magazines anymore, models still need to be printed to be legitimized. Someone still has to co-sign them. and putting them in a publication
right.
changes them from an Instagram model to, you know, you're a model.
Yeah, I think it's kind of like with the record company where the album, like the even old bands, like these old bands like the Eagles, they still make new albums. They won't play the songs in concert.
Right.
Nobody cares about the new album, but for some reason, it is important to still keep making new albums,
right.
all those old groups.
Or I think a better analogy or equivalent analogy, you know, from my standpoint, would be, okay, you can have a mixtape all you want. 50 right. Cent made yeah. mixtapes and sold right. a bunch, but right. he wasn't, you know, big until he actually had a studio-produced album.
Right, and even artists want, they still want the album on a major label, because you get guys like a Chief Keef who has a following kind of on his own, he still wants to be connected to Universal
right.
Records. For some reason, that
right.
legitimacy.
Yeah,
people still want
as
that.
A model, you can have yeah. 50,000 Instagram followers off of selfies, but you know,
right.
if you want to be considered a legitimate model and kind of break, you know, to the next level, you kind of need to be published
right.
in the magazine. So what right. we're saying is, look, you can be Erica Mena and you could come with to me with 500,000 followers, or you could be Drea and have 1 million Instagram followers,
right.
or you know, you can wait 3 years till you get to that following. But if you don't have 3 years to wait,
right.
or you don't have 500,000 followers, you can invest
right.
in your own career. Instead of taking that trip to Miami or buying a pair of $1,500 shoes you can only wear once or twice,
right.
invest in a photo shoot. You
right.
know, I'm the photographer, so we're going to give you show-type images. And guess what? If we like them, you know, we have the opportunity to publish them because that's my decision. Now,
right.
you're not paying to be in the magazine.
Yeah.
You're paying for pictures that you own.
Yeah.
You own these images.
But I actually don't envy you with them knowing you make that decision, because then they're all like, put me in a magazine. And what you have to say, like, no, you don't look good enough.
No.
I don't envy that part of it.
Here's what we do. If you visually qualify, and I've had some models who don't visually qualify.
Right.
But if you visually qualify, because what you have to understand, the show started off with new models. You know, when that was the whole idea. When we launched Show Magazine, it was about introducing you to that next new model.
Right.
It wasn't about, I purposely stayed away from other, you know, more established models because I had to differentiate
right.
our product. And I liked working with new models. I liked breaking new models who had,
yeah.
there was no Twitter or Instagram
yeah.
back there. So the way
yeah.
you discovered a new model was you either saw her in a music video like
right.
Esther Baxter
right.
once.
Right.
Or you went to your newsstand every Tuesday and picked up the new copy of Show or what
yeah.
have you and said, oh my God.
Right. But, you know, and that's a funny thing because, you know, I started off shooting Black Men magazine for a couple of years in like 2001. For a couple of years, I shot, what was that noise?
I don't know. It's the plastic of your something.
Okay. All right. But anyway, I was shooting Black Men, and in the beginning, we were shooting the girls first. We would find great girls. And then the music video directors were looking through Black Men magazine and saying, we want this girl in our video. But as the years passed, it started flipping around to where a girl would be the lead in a Nelly video, and then we were shooting her because she was in a music video. And I thought that wasn't as cool as us finding the girls. Like Abiba Davis is a model that the first thing she ever shot was in my living room, and I brought her to Black Men. And she did Black Men, and then she got into music videos. And I always thought that was cooler than the girl was the girl in a Nelly video, and then we shot her.
No,
you know?
I mean, it still works both ways, but mm-hmm. how cool is it to see a girl in a video, and then, you know, video is like 3 minutes, it's very fleeting, you can't really get a sense of her
yeah,
personality.
You gotta pause it.
But then you see her in a magazine, and you get the interview, and then you
right.
know where you can see more pictures of her.
Yeah,
you know?
You love those interviews where they
exactly.
all say the guys like their
exactly.
eyes. Yeah, no guy likes your eyes. I'm sorry to break the news to you, we don't even know you have eyes. I'm sorry,
yeah,
all
I
you
mean,
girls in Show Magazine.
I've assisted on Sean's shoots, and I think that the stuff that he's doing is genius. I think that the business model is genius, and I just can't compliment enough. It's like, wow, this is, and we talk about it, John and I talk about it, this is a vision. This is something that he's built, that he's crafted for years and made sure that
right.
it's specific to him, and the things that are he's producing, they're all ancillary, so they're all related to each other. So
right.
it's not like a reach. It's not like you're doing
right.
a cookbook, but you
right.
can.
It makes sense. It's connected.
It's connected, so it's not you're not overextending yourself, and you're still making.
Yeah, well,
or
no, he's
opportunity to make a
he's
lot
focused
of money.
On
so
that.
It's
but
definitely, I'm more props to you.
Thank
right.
you.
Tell us something about shooting the girls in terms of, like, you know, when you're shooting the pretty girl thing. Does that ever get old? Does it ever get tired?
No, well,
or is it always fun?
Well, let me just first finish the point that I was trying to make as far as like the business model. That's how it relates to us. How it relates to the models is, again, you know, you can invest in your own career. and you can say, look, I want to be published. You know, here's a great opportunity for me to skip a few steps. And I know what being published means is going to lead to more revenue for me. It's an investment. So we're helping them with that investment. As far as shooting the models and you know, shooting a beautiful woman or working with beautiful women, like it never gets old. It's definitely a stretch.
I agree with that.
It's definitely a stretch. And it's amazing how much of a better photographer you are, the hotter the model is. Because I doubt myself sometimes when I'm shooting women who just aren't photogenic or who just don't know how to model. And they're definitely two different things.
Right.
So, but when I get like a model who like a savvy or, you know, someone who is really beautiful and they know what they're doing, like a Sasha Devalle, you're like, man, I'm good.
You know, because
she's on point and she knows that the angles are ready and you're really just kind of there pressing a button.
Right.
You know, but for me, shooting is just a part of it. And it's allowing me to get back to the stuff that I really love, which was just discovering and developing new talent.
Right.
Shooting is a very small part of it. It's actually very tedious. And again, unless you're dealing with like a Erica Mena or Sin Santana, who's naturally photogenic and they're talented models.
Yeah, it can be work.
It definitely is work. And I find myself, you know, being lazy about it sometimes or whatever. Right. But now I'm like, you know what? I want to develop my craft. I want to be better at what I'm doing. Right. And I was shooting in my studio in LA for a long time without flags, and I was getting a lot of flare, and the retoucher would be like, man, you're getting flare. And I was like, okay, let me just put these flags up, because she could fix the flare. But now I'm like, no, I want to fix everything in
camera. You want to do it right.
So I'm definitely transitioning as a, I don't even still call myself a photographer, because I mean, I think that's an insult to you guys. I know I'm a producer and I have a certain style, and but as a technician, I'm no photographer, not yet. I mean, I was probably, you know, as a kid growing up a little bit better because I took classes and all that stuff.
I would say, like, a lot of people would say you're a photographer because you're making money selling photos. That wouldn't matter to me as much, because the guy who shoots my daughter's class pictures
make you a photographer.
No, but I'm gonna tell you what does. I'll tell you what does for you is the fact that you have a vision. Yeah. And like I said, with the lighting, like I'm telling you, people were saying to me directly, "You shot that, right, John?" Or like,
what do you mean, like the pictures from Instagram or something? Or?
Yeah, when I was first posting like on Instagram that you were shooting in my studio and I was taking these behind the scenes pictures. There were a couple of people who were like Instagramming me or tweeting or even direct messaging me, texting me, going like, look, John, you're the guy who's actually shooting that magazine, right? Not Sean, because people didn't know you as a photographer. People knew you as a producer of, you know, editor rather, of Show Magazine and Smooth Magazine, but not as a picture taker, photographer. So they assumed if you were in my studio, I was telling you, look, here's how you light it, Sean. Let me set the camera up and you push the button. And I had to tell him, no, Sean lit that. I physically put the lights where you said to put them. Yeah, I literally put the softbox on the light, but that was your vision of where to put that softbox. And like I said, Ray is right here to vouch for it, because Ray helped me set up the lights that day, and Ray and me both were going, this lighting makes no sense to us,
Sean,
but it did.
That was your lighting setup, and John wouldn't set it up the same way, because it's just—it's—it's.
He didn't even remember how to reset it.
Yeah, it didn't even make sense to me in the beginning, though. Remember, I kept going, "This makes no sense." Yeah, I thought it was wrong, but I'm like, if the dude wants me to do it this way, he's paying me a couple bucks to assist him, I'm gonna light it the way he wants to light it. But it did make sense. It did.
And that's why you're a photographer, and that's that's actually that hyper realism or whatever.
Hyper exposed, I think he calls it.
Is the stuff that the last 50 Cent albums were, where it's like almost animation. There was also a magazine called Associated Press where they would see like a lot of alternative groups using that style. And then there was the guy, I don't know.
Oh, no, you see a lot of people ripping it. If you have like Instagram and you follow a certain type of model, you see a lot of people trying to rip that off.
So you were right. Like, this is a perfect example of like what I'm talking about. So this is an image.
So again, we're looking at this if you're on our YouTube version.
That I shot, right? And this is after I'm looking at the images and they seem like really hyper exposed.
Right.
Okay, so I kind of made a judgment.
That was, who is this person though? What is her name?
Her name is Yasmin Estrada. She's a
So you could probably find that picture on his Instagram.
So, but then, and Ray, I'll show you the image, okay?
Right.
But then, and this is a good image. I mean, it's like, but I prefer this. Which is hyper exposed. And you guys are like, wow, that's too bright.
Now we're looking at a picture of, who is this person?
Her name is Miss VA.
So if you want to find it, if you're looking on iTunes, this is a technically overexposed picture, but it just works.
On the back, I would be like, oh, wow. I would be dialing it back down. And right. I would be doing things right. that were different, but that's your vision.
Right.
And
right.
if you're the client, at the end of the day, the client is right.
Right. So, oh, of course. Whoever's cutting my check client, is right.
I just like that. Yeah. It looks very anime to me.
Yeah, no, it works. Like I said, what's so funny about that
is one of my competitors, you know, on one of his Instagram things, like he actually said something like that, like, oh, you got these cartoony images with the baby oil. And I'm like, you know, first you're taking offense because someone is trying to insult you, but I'm like, no, you got it right on. Like, I like the animated look, and I like the girls to look shiny. They're not looking like extra shiny, like, you know, Hype Williams did in Belly.
Where, right. You know, oh, that was beautiful,
Vaseline,
man. Terrell Hicks.
Right.
Terrell Hicks. Oh, my God, that was gorgeous.
Where you're like, this is crazy looking, but I don't like looking at images where there's no reflection, where it's just flat. I mean, not for glamour. Glamour to me is glossy.
Right.
You know, you see like, you know, just light bouncing off of, you know, every part of them.
Right.
You know?
Again, that's your vision, which is great. So that's what makes you a photographer in my eyes. And even people I follow on Instagram who are doing phone pictures, if they have a clear vision, I look at them and I'll be showing Ray people's phone pictures. I'm like, this person has a vision. And I think that's, it's not understood by a lot of photographers what that is, what it means, but it's basically like your way of seeing the world and how that translates into your photographs. And I understand my vision, and it took me a long time to understand it. And I even understand yours. You have a distinct vision of how you see glamour photography. It doesn't match my vision at all. And that's the beauty of it, because I would shoot it totally different. And you're fortunate because you're your own client. So you're able to produce your vision and throw that out to the world. Right. That's a beautiful thing. I mean, we can all do it through Instagram. It's just if you have a real platform like Show, you've got a much better chance of getting an actual audience.
And, and it's the same vision. It's fantastic. It's the same vision I've been producing from day one, and it's evolved and with a couple other photographers, but now I get to execute my vision. So it's a great feeling, but putting myself in photographer's shoes, I get a little bit more now of, you know, how they used to kind of complain when you put like a not so attractive girl in front of them.
Yeah, right, or, and then supposed to make her look amazing or something.
Or you want them to shoot straight through lunch or 12 hours straight, and I kind of get it now, and I want to apologize to, you know, Nick and other people that I've worked with, because I used to be like, man, just shoot. What's the difference? Like, but no, like when you get a beautiful girl and a talented model, you're inspired and you're like, wow. And you like what you get when you press that button, and it makes such a huge difference. But, you know, we're about opportunities, and we're about people who want to take their success into their own hands and partner in with us, you know, for their own success. So if you want to, you know, save up some money and say, hey, I want to do this great shoot and it's going to help me in my career, can you help us get published? Then of course I'm going to do it. And I guarantee you, and I don't think I'm the first person to do this, and we're not journalists.
Right.
You know, so there's no like integrity issues or
anything. Yeah, I'm glad
like
I'm
that.
Not a journalist.
And I know you have some people who've kind of been doing it indirectly before us. And I know you have some people over here who are probably looking down at us for even making these opportunities available for models. But I guarantee you, they're going to be doing it. You know, they're going to be doing it themselves soon enough if they haven't done it yet. I mean, even when I was, you know, with Smooth Magazine, I remember us allowing record labels to pay for photo shoots.
Right, right.
So,
right.
I mean, you know, it's like, this has been happening like way, but like,
yeah, the magazines
the
had no choice at a point because they weren't making any money.
Yeah, what's the difference between an artist paying for a photo shoot than a model paying for a photo shoot? They're still trying to promote their own career.
It's just trying to get in a magazine,
What I wanted to add was that, like, I stepped inside to pick up a gi during a John Ricard photo shoot, and I certainly would never put baby oil on Mary Mary, or I don't think the next guy we shoot Mary Mary would be like, you know, having them in bikinis. But that, I mean,
you got to be different.
It's like they're women, but it's whatever the. Whatever your vision is, whatever the client
Yeah, you got to do it. And it's funny because, like you said, I just shot Mary Mary maybe 3 days ago. Mm-hmm. I was afraid to even put on music because I know they're religious. I know what they were going to play. And all we've been playing is that new Beyonce album. You know, I have the videos. Mm-hmm. And you play that, no work gets done in the studio. Everybody, all the hair and makeup girls just stop and everybody starts staring at the Beyonce videos. But for Mary Mary, I didn't even want to put that on. I'm just like, you guys put your own music on because I know there's no religious music in my playlist, so.
I mean, I think, did you put the Beyonce stuff on? Because
they, no, they didn't. No, they, no, we never had Beyonce on that day.
I would have put that, because the producers, like the guys who produced, the husbands of Mary Mary produced, I guess, secular or non-secular, whatever, they don't, they produce regular music.
Right, and, well, I didn't want to take a chance, you know. I'm still trying to get over the time Lupe Fiasco, you know, yelled at me with his eyes for putting on Trina years ago, okay? Wow. I put on Trina, he was looking at me like I was crazy, you know?
When was that?
That was the first time I shot him, and we did not connect. The second time I shot him, I was a huge fan of his. I love all three of his albums, I love them, but the second time I shot him, we connected really well, but that first time, it was not pretty. From that moment on, the whole shoot, we just lost it, you know?
He's a nice guy. When you can make a connection. And that's another thing we have to talk about is, I know I haven't done it in a long time, but just connecting with the subject. Because I know that lately, the stuff that I do, I have, there's no connection. Shooting with the 300, I'm shooting with the 70 to 200, and they would never know that I was there, or they would acknowledge that I was there, and they would just like, I got to put up with this effort.
There's times where that can be fun to kind of shoot without the interaction. And I know, like when I shot BET, when I was covering the actual show, I mean, yeah, I'm trying to be invisible. They were filming a live television program, and I'm just documenting what happens there. I don't want any interaction. And there can be a kind of like solitude, a kind of peace to that, to not have to interact with people. But to me, the real challenge for me in photography is when I'm in my studio and I have you standing on what is literally a gigantic sheet of paper. There is nothing natural about this. There is no moment happening. And I've got to create something here. And even like when Sean's doing his thing, there's nothing sexy about this. There's 50 people in a room, music is blasting, there's people doing hair and makeup, there's people on the computers, people walking in. My super's coming in and out, making up excuses to see the pretty girls. You know, there's...
The girls are pretty.
Oh, yeah, there you go. I don't blame him. But there's all of this stuff, and then we're telling you, like, be sexy, and you're kneeling on a concrete floor. You know, like, the floor's dirty, you got oil on, you've been here 10 hours, like, but you've got to make something sexy. And I know when I'm shooting, whether it's the sexy girl or an artist, again, you're just standing on a giant sheet of paper, and I've got to create something interesting, and it's a real challenge, and I love it, and I have a lot of respect for people who can pull that off. And I personally, and I know this is wrong, I have less respect for the people who think they accomplished something because they shot a good concert photo. And I used to think that was a big deal when I nailed a great concert shot, but we reached a point where anybody can do it because the cameras were so good, and all you're doing is pushing a button, it's easy. You look at what they shoot at BET without me, when you're talking about how they cover the show, it looks just like when I covered it, because anybody can stand there and shoot the show. Now, my backstage stuff was impeccable. Nobody can touch what I did backstage at BET. Nobody, I'll put that on record, nobody can touch what I did at backstage at BET. It was incredible. With my Leica, it was incredible. But, because that was my vision, it was a lot of decisions I was making about how to cover that, how to shoot that. But the show, anybody can shoot it. So I think the challenge for anybody and the challenge for you is to be in here and to be interacting with the talent and pulling out what you want. Because like we said a bunch of times on this podcast, you would not light it the way Sean would light it. You might not pose it the way Sean. And the posing too, because I would actually ask you about the posing, Sean.
I certainly don't do the same stuff to you. It terrifies me. It terrifies me to do that. Like I just like to stay in the cut. And if I had a 500, if I had a 1,000, I'd just be like banging it out.
Right. Nah, no desire to do that.
But
I want my 35 or my 50on my little Leica.
Yeah, when I work sometimes with John, I was like, get the F out of the way. You're blocking my shots. You're taking money
close.
Out of my pocket. You're taking money out of my pocket because your body is in the way. You're
Right, but that's why I like having my own studio, because I don't have to worry about being in anybody's way. But I was going to ask you a question about posing, because sometimes it almost seems like with Show Magazine that the posing is sort of, I don't know, almost like, I don't know what the word would be.
What do you call it in gymnastics when everyone, compulsories. That's the term I've always used. Again, when
mandatory poses, in other words.
Well, Is that what compulsory means?
Yeah, it would be the same thing. You have to do it. But I'm going to ask you something different, but explain that first.
Well, the way compulsory means to me is something that everyone could be judged on equally. So in gymnastics, you all have to do the same exercises, and you're judged based on that, so you could be judged equally. So you could kind of compare someone from 10 years ago, you know, Nadia Comaneci from 20 years ago, to a Gabby Douglas, you know, a couple years ago, because they did the exact same routine. With Show Magazine, again, when you're starting a new brand and you're launching a new product, it's about how do you differentiate something. You know,
right.
Let me find something I'm passionate about and let's kind of implement that. And I've always been passionate about pinup, and because of my OCD, I love symmetry. You know, right. So some of the poses and even the Lucite furniture that we've used and the stool and, you know, it's always been classic Show. So we have Show poses. If you see someone else doing a stool shot where they're sitting on a stool, right. where, you know, their shoulders are perfectly square as their hips and
right.
their head is, you know, a profile, you know that that's a Show Magazine shot
right.
if you see it anywhere else. Now, I developed that particular pose with Melissa Ford when I did a shoot for Smooth Magazine,
right.
and I researched and we did all these pinup poses. So there's a lot of stuff that I kind of developed over there and I took with me, even
right.
the Lucite furniture and shooting on the color
right.
paper.
Which again, this is vision, by the way.
I developed
That's
that with, you know, Mark Mann. That was, right. you know, he took me to a studio and they had Lucite furniture
right.
and he was shooting all these Bad Boy images on like white paper or color paper. We had never
right.
done that before.
Right.
And I was like, wow, this is economically viable. It's different.
Right.
And I love colors and I love pink. And, you know,
right.
and then these images are going to be great digitally because there's no cluttered background. There's no
right.
waterfall. There's no wrapper. There's no car. So
right.
we could do whatever we want with these images. So the Show poses developed that way as well. You know, whether I was working with, you know, Nick Salimbeni and,
right.
you know, having girls pull their panties back and we just continued
right.
to
But what you're saying is, so
that.
You'll repeat that pose with the next model,
right.
maybe another model.
Right.
So
because,
then we can compare them.
So then now you can look at a Tamika Freeman from issue, whatever, issue mm-hmm. 4, or you can look at a Jessica Maximus from issue 8 and compare her to a Yara Sanchez and say, well, she not only did that pose better, meaning she's a better model, but
right.
she also looked better. So she executed it better, and then visually it looks
right.
better. You know, so
right.
I could tell you I have this stool shot coming up with Tahiri,
right.
you know, that is just going to like kill every other
Is that
stool
my stool
shot
from the one you did here?
Yeah, from your stool because it curves in like a saddle.
Yeah,
so
that's
it kind
why we
of
got
frames
it.
And shapes her butt, you know. But one of the reasons why we have similar poses, like
right.
straddling the box, is because we've always shot with the same furniture.
Right.
So you get the same furniture, there's but certain things that you can, you
right.
know, straddle that clear chair.
Right.
So everyone who comes into the studio
right.
now, like they want to shoot on that clear chair or they want to do
right.
their, you know, Ani Love pose on the box.
Right.
You know?
I don't know how keen I'd be to want to put my butt on the same butt chair that 10 other girls did.
Yeah,
but
you'd
whatever.
Like those butts that was been on the chair to be on you. So it's
whatever.
Kind of the same thing.
I'm showing my ring to the camera now. Anyway, but the thing is, do you sometimes pick girls for Show almost like in an anatomical sense of just like, well, she has a big chest or she has a big butt? Rather than like she's super pretty or she's super sexy, or is it inherently sexy and pretty if she has a big butt or a big breast?
Of course, everyone does, because just like when I Instagram certain pictures, you get more likes if she has, I think boobs kind of leads it, like regardless, and
right.
then butt. So
right.
a pretty face helps as well, but if you have some nice cleavage under the pretty face,
right.
then that's even better. So this is the business. Of course, what you look like anatomically is going to rise above the rest, but
right.
We have people that fall in love with just a beautiful face, and she doesn't really need to have a body either. But
right.
if you get a Dalicia Bryant or a Jessica Maximus, who both have beautiful faces and great bodies,
right.
then yeah, you
that's
know,
the
and,
triple
and
threat
again,
or something.
Yeah, and again,
right.
you know, you look at, you know, a Sin Santana, and you look at an Erica Mena. Like Sin Santana is more of like a triple threat because she's a beautiful face. She has
right.
a great set, you know, a rack or boobs,
right.
and she has a booty, you know.
Right.
And you look at Erica Mena. Erica Mena has her own assets because she has nice boobs, she's a beautiful face,
right.
and she's a great model.
Right.
You know, but she's not known for her butt or anything like
right.
that. Well, maybe now she is,
nah.
but in the
Why?
Past.
Why, did she do something to her butt?
I don't know. But okay. It's she has like a nice butt right okay. now. But in the past, that wasn't, you know, why you booked Erica Mena. You didn't right. book her because
yeah,
of
she always had the big rack and very pretty face.
Right, like, and she's yeah, a great face. Model. She's mm-hmm. actually like a good fashion model as well.
Yeah, face wise, she could have pulled off any beauty campaign, like without a doubt. But that whole throwing plates at people thing, I don't know how far. That'll get you when you're on the set of a real, you know, commercial shoot.
And what makes it real? Getting paid?
Cause she's well, getting who the paid. Client is and whether they're going to tolerate. I mean, in other words, she works a job where it's okay to throw a plate and they will still right. hire you week after week. We're talking about Love and Hip Hop. But
right.
but there's certain places you go where if you throw a plate, they may not call
yeah,
you back
what's,
again.
Yeah, but what's your point?
Yeah. What? I'm just saying I'm not sure how well that – I'm saying she has a face that's strong enough to be able to do like – you know, whatever, Clairol
what?
Ad
no,
or something
that's
like
not
that.
How, that's not how it works. Having what? A face to do Clairol is not enough. You have to be like, you know, a size zero.
Oh, I know,
or
I know
you
of
have
course.
To be Beyonce.
Right. No, I'm so, just saying what her face looks like.
But that's just that's her face. That's not right. the opportunities it's afforded her.
Right.
You know?
And I don't even right. think, I just don't even think that some of these ladies need those campaigns or need those clients, because you look at Kim Kardashian, she's just made a revenue stream out of just being seen.
Right.
And right. she's got, and just all these other ladies, being seen, being popular, being in, I guess, just being of interest, and they've been able to monetize that. So
right.
they're not trying to wait for Obama to give them an unemployment check.
I think it's
money.
The first time in history that so many people are able to market themselves rather than selling a product or something you can sell yourself. It's an amazing time. But we're going to wrap in a couple of minutes, but I wanted to try something really quick and see if we're able to do this, okay? So, you know, I've kind of largely abandoned Twitter in the last year or so. I find that 140 character limitation is really frustrating for me to have to rephrase what I want to write to fit into 140 characters, so I find I don't post there a lot. And I think Twitter is really best for like sharing links and things, and I'm not that interested in that. So I'm on Instagram pretty often, and I do enjoy it, although I don't tend to get like a lot of likes and a lot of interaction, but I do enjoy posting on Instagram. And I'm on Facebook, which is a little bit more personal. Just about everybody who follows me on Facebook knows me personally. But Sean is a person who seems to work social media very well, the Twitter and the Instagram feed for ShowMag IG. And I'm not sure what it is for Twitter, but it does well. It gets retweets, it gets attention, it gets noticed, it helps him book shoots. Now, Ray is in a completely third category where he's not really on Twitter, he's not on Instagram, and I think you just said you got off Facebook even, correct?
Yeah, but what's fascinating is that when I assist Sean, and I take pictures and he posts them on his Instagram, I like that attention with the pictures.
Right, it's super cool.
It's like, oh, people are commenting on the pictures, and it's like, wow, it makes me want to step up my game and take better,
right.
more sexy pictures of these ladies in action.
Well, there's a lot of content, though.
I don't
know
how to produce any other stuff for it.
No, but I mean, there's a lot of content that can get you attention on Instagram or generate likes. It doesn't have to be sexy girls. Of course, that's one way that works. But it's certainly not the only route. There's a ton of, again, Jeremy Coward, you know, has got a ton of people following his Instagram, and there's no sexy girls there. But since Ray is concurring that it might be cool to be doing Instagram, but I was about to say, how would you, Sean, convince someone, any photographer, why they should be embracing social media or how they might embrace Instagram to make it worthwhile for them?
I mean, I'd like to try to convince you.
I'm on there. What do you want
other
me to
photographers?
Do? I'm on there.
John, have you ever listened to yourself? Do you listen to these podcasts?
Every
You're very
one of them, yes.
cynical.
They're very fascinating.
You're very cynical. You're very skeptical, and you like to right. harp on things. That's not
that's a, the podcast.
That's not
welcome to camera
okay,
work.
That's okay. So we'll just have 1,000 listeners forever then.
Hey,
because that's not a
that would
not
be
gonna
an
help you grow your audience.
Right. But what am I? But go on. I do. I mean, I do like you, for example. Last time we were on, you mentioned, I mentioned to you that with Instagram, for example, I don't tend to post my real work. On Instagram, I'd put the BTS shot. I might put my daughter, myself, my wife, but not the real shot. Since we spoke, I do tend to put the real shot. I put tear sheets up there if I get something published in a magazine.
What?
I put that up there. Okay. If I do a shot that I've retouched of an artist, I say I shot August Alsina, I'll put that final shot on my Instagram. You would say, oh, Instagram should be like the John Ricard archive. So I do that now. I mean, it doesn't really produce any true results. In fact, the likes aren't any greater than they were before. There's no job offers, whatever, but I do take the advice. So I actually do, despite all my ranting and complaining, I do listen to people and take advice.
Well,
I listen to the podcast and take advice from it.
The opportunity is that the genre that you're a part of and the industry that you're a part of is a little bit definitely more kind of sexually driven and lifestyle driven. So you have to take pictures. You're a great street photographer, so do, and you have to make it interesting. Do a series on sneakers. You know, do a series on PDA, you know, public displays of affection.
No, I mean, that's the main thing I shoot. That's what I shoot for street.
I'm saying, but I haven't seen that on like your Instagram.
It's been
It has to be a little bit more interesting. You've taken tons of pictures of celebrities and rappers and singers and your BET stuff. Why isn't that on your Instagram?
Some of it is.
Okay.
Not a lot of it.
You have to invest time in it. You have to follow other people. You have to be regular with it. Like, how many posts do you have on your Instagram right now? Like 200 maybe?
Oh, no, no, it's a lot. No,
like, how many? What's a lot to you?
I can't look because we're using the phone for something,
but
it's thousands, I'm sure. No, it's a lot.
Thousands?
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
I don't know. I don't know. It's a lot of pictures. I don't know.
It's
a whole bunch of stuff. The only thing that anybody cares about on my Instagram is pictures of my daughter. I could put my daughter. Here's my daughter going to yoga. Everybody loves it. You know, oh, here's whatever, August Alsina. Nobody cares. You know, here's a street picture. Hashtag Leica. Nobody fucking cares. I just want to see my daughter.
Okay, look at it's the audience you're giving me. I'm sure other photographers, are you a part of photography forums? What audience are you trying to get?
Well, that's one of the things I think with my personal Instagram feed is that mine is divided. There's people
Private?
No, definitely not, no. But there's people who know me from, say, jujitsu, people who just know me from family, people who followed me because they saw me post your content, the BTS from show, people who follow me taking BET pictures. So mine's kind of spread out, whereas yours is probably a lot of people who like looking at pretty, sexy girls. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of consistent. So for me, you know, if I put up something music related, the people who followed me because they saw a street picture don't care. And if I put up a jujitsu picture, the BET people don't care. You know, I've got like six or seven different audiences.
Jiu-jitsu pictures on Facebook, which is a little bit more personal.
Right.
And just be more specific and more targeted with your Instagram, depending on who you're trying to attract.
Right.
It can't be all over the place because, like you said,
mine is very all over
the place.
You're
going to have people come looking for a specific thing and they're not going to find it. They're going to unfollow you.
Yeah, I always laugh because, like Ray was saying, when you do your show magazine here, I'll tend to shoot some BTS pictures of you shooting the girls. And I put that on my Instagram and you put it on your Instagram. And then I get all these new followers and I'm always laughing like, these guys are going to hate the feed next week when you're not here providing all these girls. The feed's going to be totally different.
Well,
and I can be the least bit interested.
Spread them out. Take more pictures and spread them
right,
out.
Right, I guess. I don't know if I can please those people.
More on what you're trying to do.
Right.
Yeah, and understand that it's going to be a smaller audience, so it's not going to help you. It's not going to help you get new clients or professionally, but you can still kind of, I think, be very targeted with who you're trying to reach.
Right. I mean, it works a little bit. Like I said, I think when something like that unique photo seminar that I did, I know there were people there that knew me specifically. It wasn't just like, random photographer with a topic. They were like, John Ricard is presenting, and they knew me from like Instagram or Twitter. So it works to some degree, and some people are listening to the podcast, but we'd always like that to grow.
Do you book jobs? I mean, this is talking to you, Sean. Do you book jobs because of your Instagram?
I'm going to answer that already.
I just booked a couple of jobs while we were doing this podcast because I'm on Instagram.
He's got his phone there. Look, I'm moving
the
camera.
Instagram.
Hopefully can't read your phone. I don't know if that's
bad. Well, I'm just getting into it. I mean, I just Instagram a couple, this picture that I just showed you. So advertising that we're shooting here at John Ricard Studio tomorrow. Mm-hmm. So we'll probably have at least like one person. But if you're asking me primarily, is that how we get business these days as far as the photography aspect? I would say probably like 75%. The other 25% is probably referrals, meaning that they saw someone post a picture on Instagram.
Right.
So, of course, that's just our main.
Yeah, it works for him.
And we have a lot of models who are shooting just for the Instagram pictures. You don't have to shoot and then hope to get published or do the three looks and guarantee publishing. You could do one, you could do two looks. It'll get you a nice Instagram spread. So we're actually publishing on Instagram now.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember that's what you were telling me. Have the John Ricard archive on Instagram, which I do. So,
I know the pictures I produced on your Instagram. I love them.
Yeah, it was good stuff.
I mean, but you have to be the curator. You have to just curate your Instagram and think of it that way. And it's like, what kind of museum is this? What am I focusing on? What kind of images am I curating? And who am I going to attract? Do you know if it's more sexual that you're going to get a more wider mainstream audience, or if it's more like street that's going to be targeted? But there's plenty of people out there that are fans of street photography.
True, true, right.
You know, I'm a little spread out. Photography.
Yeah, I'm a little spread out is the problem. Yeah, but all right, but I think we're going to wrap down unless anybody else has any other thing they wanted to mention. All right, so I mean, I'm dead serious when I say this. I thank you for your time coming.
I'm honored to
have you here. It's like a lot of fun to talk to you because you are really doing something specific about, like, say, the social media and the multiple revenue streams. I think is a fascinating topic. Yeah. I appreciate you just sharing all that information.
I can't wait
to watch it.
So send me the link.
It's good.
I always enjoy, you know, watching it and seeing it and hearing it again.
And sending out. Yeah, it's going to be cool. So I thank you for
we'll
that.
We'll definitely tweet and Instagram about it.
Yes, yeah, I appreciate that. I'll be on your Instagram at least.
Breaking news.
Right, with all my clothes on. All right, but where do we find you and your brand?
Showmag IG, Showmag IG. So Showmag IG or Showgirls with a Z exclusive.com. You can find us on newsstands. Right. Or my email is Sean, S-E-A-N, at CummingsMedia.com.
Right. Okay. And then you can always pick up. I'm showing the cover again. There they go. Look, Erica Mena and Sin Santana.
Shot right here at 580 21st floor, John Ricard Studio.
That's right. How cool. All these
with
pictures.
With the assistance of John and Ray.
Yeah, we were both here working. And then
there's like four or five girls in there that we
shot. Yeah, we shot this girl here. What is her name?
Olivia Marie.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And then my personal favorite, you're probably not supposed to say that though, right? But this Nisi Kamai, where is she?
She's more right there.
Yeah, here she goes. Yeah, this was my personal
favorite. So if you Instagram a picture of her boobs, I think you'll get a lot of followers, John.
Yeah, we have some of those we can send out. But there she goes. I mean, she was just so cool. She looked amazing and she was just super nice. And I follow her Instagram. I have her Instagram. I'm sure I could reach out to her. But look, there's my ring again.
You can send direct messages on IG now, John.
No, we're not going to do that because you see that ring, right? We're not going to do that, okay? But anyway, if you want to find me on Instagram, it's John Ricard, JohnRicard, okay? And Ray, where do we find you on Instagram?
Not on Instagram, but you can find my work on GettyImages.com. And
Say
that again, Sean.
After this whole conversation, how can you have someone on the show who does not have an Instagram?
Well, that's why I said I was going to have
He's
you convince him to get one.
On you.
I know. Wow.
It's not an influence. I respect what you guys are doing. I just don't need it.
Doesn't hurt.
I mean, I just am late to the game. So I admit that.
Keep in mind, though, considering all this stuff jumped off like, 2008, 2009? Seriously, none of us are late to the game. Right now is not late to the game because this stuff, in some form, it's going to be here 20 years from now. This is still new to the game, man. So jump on it now. It's not late. Okay. You could build a following in 6 months if you did it right. Uh-huh. Like Sean was saying, focus what you're doing. And like we said with me, mine's all spread out. My audience, but if your audience is not spread out, if I did only street photography, I could build an audience very quickly. So now don't think that's late to the game. First of all, it's never too late, but certainly not in 2014. We're only up to the iPhone 5. One day we're going to be on the iPhone 55. But we find you, you said.
GettyImages.com or raytamara.com, RayTamara.
Please start an Instagram, Ray. Ray, please start an Instagram.
Maybe tomorrow. Are you coming tomorrow when we shoot the show?
Do you have a Tumblr?
No. Are you coming tomorrow, though, when we're shooting some of the show stuff?
I'm a yoga teacher training, so I'm out of pocket.
Oh, okay.
Come by at some point. We'll be here for 12 hours, as usual.
Yeah, I know. Well, I got a family thing, so I got a break at some point. But anyway, thank you guys for listening, and thank you to Sean Cummings for coming through
for the
second time to Camera Work Podcast. Thank you, guys. Beautiful. That was so much fun, man.